Hacking, data, and identity theft are causing devastating problems. Globex Data is the solution for privacy and security in the digital world. Switzerland has the world's strictest privacy laws, and Globex Data's Swiss-hosted platform is outside of big tech with no data mining. Globex Data is now launching in the USA, offering email and messaging privacy and security to all Americans. Globex Data Limited, stock trading symbol SWISF. Web address, globexdatagroup.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Weifeng Zhang of the Mercatus Center to help me sort through stories that all relate generally to the aggression of the People's Republic of China, so-called wolf warrior posture towards the world, and reactions from the United States, from Europe, and from the markets in these last days, looking forward to either competition or confrontation, depending upon your use of the euphemism, in the coming years. Weifeng, a very good day to you. Thank you for this. I begin with an opinion piece in the Global Times, the official in English document from the Central Committee, I believe, of the Chinese Communist Party. It reads in headline, AUKUS, Australia, United Kingdom, U.S. alliance, having to do with the Indo-Pacific security. AUKUS threatens ASEAN, not just China. For almost 2 years now, reads the editor, op-ed piece, ASEAN and China have been together intensely focused on overcoming the COVID-19 epidemic. China is pouring in massive numbers of PPEs, mass ventilators, and has achieved tremendous success in surmounting the unprecedented collective challenge. At the same time, with the years of dialogue and negotiations, ASEAN and China have finally achieved calm seas on the previously disturbed efforts towards calm and tranquility due to the South China Sea disputes hyped up by some of the ASEAN members. They're all now looking forward to the code of conduct for the South China Sea with China by 2022. Optimism has been at its highest for Asia's post-pandemic economic recovery. There is hope to avert a Cold War 2.0 that was discussed at U.S. President Joe Biden's phone call to President Xi Jinping on September 10th. It concluded with a cooperative note on the pandemic and climate change challenges. Now here comes AUKUS. But just 5 days after that hopeful call, the U.S., U.K., and Australia shook the global high spirits off with the announcement of a new tripartite defense alliance called AUKUS. I'll stop there, Weifeng, because I admire the skill of the writer and of the Global Times to construct this as a threat to peace. The upside-down world of the Chinese Communist Party, whatever blunts us, is a stop to peace. However, ASEAN itself has not expressed these opinions. How is it that China is reacting so harshly, so aggressively to AUKUS? Did they not see it coming? Are they upset by what is, in effect, a junior partner to the Quad that has been with us for several years? Do they ignore the resistance of Australia and other powers to their blanket aggression? Good day to you, Weifeng.
Very good day to you too, John. Thanks for having me. That's a very important question. And in fact, I think the reaction, China's reaction about it, and the fact that they are allowing an op-ed or running an op-ed that sounds like this, suggests that the Chinese government is quite serious about some form of decoupling between U.S. and China. And that the expression of that opinion is basically part of the effort of China trying to round up its own allies to confront the U.S. and America's allies. So the AUKUS deal is threatening to China for sure. I'm not a military expert, but what I know about the nuclear submarine that Australia is going to get would allow them to basically, you know, park off the coast of China and sit there for a month without being detected. And that actually serves a lot of values already. So we are not even talking about attack, using a submarine to attack, but just sit there serves a lot of surveillance value because you can park underneath the South China Sea and you can surveil all these Chinese vessels going around or the island building efforts there too. And so that's a hugely important because Australia is only the second U.S. allies that has really substantial nuclear powered submarine capabilities. The third, sorry. So UK being the first U.S. ally, France has nuclear submarines too, although they're not building one for Australia. But then Australia will be the third important U.S. ally to have the substantial capability.
I want to just make a note. What you just said was that China is concerned because it does not have what is judged to be first-rate anti-submarine technology. That is a weakness in the Chinese military, which I think augments your point about parking off of the coast of China undetected.
Right. And so that's actually the beauty or the power of nuclear submarine. Now, in China's defense, not defense, but to their credit, they have nuclear submarines too. So China has quite a bit. But having a nation like Australia being so close to it, given all this confrontation China and Australia have been having economically for the past couple of years now, it's a huge problem. And so it's only natural for the Chinese, from the Chinese perspective, to say, now let's round up our allies in ASEAN to make sure that they don't turn to the other side. And that's really a rapid forming of bipolar decoupling, as you will, between U.S. and China.
I want to unpack the editorial, as you've started to say. ASEAN is made up a number of small states heavily dependent upon Chinese economy, imports, exports, and in the region. However, the other part of the editorial that was new to me was looking forward to the code of conduct for the South China Sea with China by 2022. I did not know that China's answer to its to what is understood to be provocations, the Great Wall of Sand was the quote from the U.S. Navy's Harry Harris once upon a time. The answer was they're going to draw up new rules that permit China to fortify artificial islands. Was that in the news, or was this just slipped in as a way of rhetorical rebuke of the U.S.?
I think it sounds like a rhetorical rebuke to the U.S. and the fact that it appears in an opinion piece, right, not running at the news piece. And also, we also have to recognize that the Global Times is the more hawkish section in the affection inside the Communist Party. So they don't necessarily represent the official foreign policy makers in the Chinese government. So they tend to be more aggressive on the more aggressive side. So things they say may not do not necessarily imply things that will happen later on. Sometimes they do, but sometimes they are sort of over the top.
The presentation here also includes, in quotes, Cold War 2.0. I presume that is ironic on China's part, presenting itself again as the aggrieved victim of hostility and aggression. Does that work at home? Is that because they've been using it so often for as many years as I've been reporting? Does the Chinese public still think of nationalism under assault by invaders from the outside?
Oh, that works very well. In fact, if you think about the flip side now, which is the Huawei story, that the way the warm welcome the Chinese government and the Chinese people were giving to the daughter of the Huawei founder, Meng Wanzhou, when she returned home, basically it's the flip side of the victim mentality. So now we are coming back, you know, you see how great the daughter looks as a civilian stepping off the plane like a Chinese leader. And so that kind of things really boost their morale, and it works really well for regular folks in China. And that's also why President Xi Jinping in China is hugely popular, because of this nationalism spirit there.
Let's go immediately to the Huawei story. The exchange happened suddenly. According to reporting in the Wall Street Journal in these hours, the exchange was timed to the release of two Canadian nationals who'd been held since 2018, and perhaps permitting American nationals to leave China after they'd been detained for some time. It looks like blunt hostage diplomacy, not disguised in any fashion. So is this understood by the Communist Party? I won't ask for the population, the Communist Party, as a victory over the United States?
I think the Chinese company perhaps sees it that way, and which actually is the reason why I think swapping the hostage in this way is a good deal for the U.S. because the Chinese government always values the face. You know, it's everything is about face, right? So two of them getting the daughter of the Huawei founder back is a huge victory diplomatically for China. But I think it also serves U.S. Policy purposes very well too, because I think Huawei presents a very important foreign policy or a national security threat or national security problem. But solving that problem doesn't really comes down to whether Ms. Meng stays in Canada or not. I think Huawei has a lot of problems, most importantly in 5G. And it's important for the U.S. government to go back to the drawing board and figure out exactly what are we going to do with all these Huawei technologies. And so letting this episode go and move on and tackle the bigger problem, I think it's a smart move. Not to mention also that the condition for the release of Ms. Meng was that the DOJ now has evidence they will be able to go after Huawei in lawsuits because the admission of the mistakes of the wrongdoing by the founder's daughter would serve the purpose, hopefully, in the second, you know, lawsuits that will come later on.
The aggression towards Canada, however, continues. The embargo, high tariffs, refusing to import foodstuffs from Canada. This is the wolf warrior in action. So turning to the wolf warrior, the presentation, do you sense any need for China to pull back from that aggression that it's practicing around the world? Again, this editorial indicates that they're peace-loving. They're seeking remedies. How did they put it? Dialogue and negotiations. Wolf warrior is not about dialogue and negotiations. Are they going to step away from that?
I think it's hard to step away from that now because I think that both the U.S. and China now is on a path of at least some degree of decoupling. And I say that because the way I watched this development was that I was looking at how often Chinese propaganda actually discusses the subject of U.S.-China relations in the first months after President Biden took office. And it's important to watch even just whether how often the newspaper talks about this is very indicative. Because when the Chinese government is uncertain about certain things, they would say stay silent. And that's exactly what happened in the first few months after Biden came in. And so they basically stopped talking about U.S.-China because they hadn't figured out what to do. But that's only until recently, because very recently in the past couple of months, the mentions of U.S.-China relations really picked up. And it suggests that China has made up its mind. They have figured out what to do about the U.S., which is to create some distance, pull away from the U.S. That's why we are seeing all these crackdown on big tech corporations in China and trying to encourage them to, instead of listing in the U.S. stock exchanges, to come back to Chinese stock exchanges. Because I think the Chinese economy will be pulled away by the Communist Party from the global economy for at least some distance. And that's not going to go away, I think. That's not going to be reverted.
We'll turn to the Chinese economy because there are connections between AUKUS and the present announcement that China is struggling to generate enough electricity for prosperity, production, growth, and lighting people's homes. Speaking to Weifeng Zhang of the Mercatus Center, helping me first unpack a Global Times official document from the Chinese Communist Party, and now turning to interpret these announcements, which look alarming, about electricity blackouts, rolling blackouts in the most productive provinces of the People's Republic of China. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Data privacy, hacking, ransomware, and data theft have become devastating problems for businesses and individuals. Globex Data has the solution. Switzerland has the world's strictest data privacy laws, and Globex Data's Swiss-hosted secure application, spelled S-E-K-U-R, uses a proprietary technology outside of big tech, which means your data remains private and secure. Globex Data just signed two telecom giants to distribute its secure communication solution to over 400 million people in 30 Latin American and Asian countries. Secure is the solution for messaging and email privacy with no data or phone number mining. Secure users can message non-secure users in full privacy and security using chat by invites. Globex Data is now available in the U.S., bringing messaging and email privacy and security to all Americans. This Data Privacy Minute has been brought to you by Globex Data Limited. Stock trading symbol SWISF. Web address globexdata.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.